Mornings on the Mall here. Vince Colonnay is alongside Mary Walter.
And joining us now is Phil Kirpin. He's the president of American Commitment. Phil, good morning. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall on this Friday. Glad to have you.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, let's talk about this Menendez mistrial. I think we all saw it coming. I'm actually shocked that he was not acquitted of the whole thing. So where did the prosecution fail here?
Well, you know, the Abby Lowell's a brilliant lawyer, the defense lawyer in this case, and he had this strategy. I don't know if they didn't anticipate it or what, but basically, you know, the prosecution presented what would under ordinary circumstances be a really, really damning fact pattern. You had a senator who took all of these lavish, undisclosed private jet trips and stayed at luxury resorts and all kinds of other special gifts from an eye doctor in Florida, and did all these official acts to favor him. And, you know, that looks an awful lot like bribery to any normal person. But what Lowell did that was so brilliant is he said, friendship. Friendship is the innocent, non-corrupt explanation for all of this. These two men were great, great friends, and when you're very good friends with someone, you like to share your private jet and your luxury resorts with him, and he, in turn, who's great friends with you, is going to do things like try to get your Medicare fraud investigation dropped and steer a multi-hundred-million-dollar port security contract your way and get visas for all your supermodel girlfriends. And in all of the cases going in both directions, this was just a friend helping a friend, and you know, it sounds ridiculous when I say it, but when Abby Lowell says it, it sounds very compelling, apparently. And he was able to convince the majority of the jury, not all of them, of course, there were some who wanted to convict, but the majority of the jury, that friendship was the innocent explanation for all of it. And I'm never going to forget the line he used in his closing statement that I said, think summed up the whole thing. By the way, I've been calling this the Bismarcky defense, the just a friend defense. In his closing statement, he said, gifts to cultivate a friendship are not bribes. So, you know, I guess, you know, now we've got this new rule, this new de facto rule that even though I thought gifts to anyone who works for Congress were like totally banned because you can, I thought you couldn't even buy them lunch or whatever, but apparently you can buy lavish, over-the-top gifts, and as long as you don't ask for the specific favors in return, as long as it's just done out of friendship, then you're okay. Even if the gifts are, you know, private luxury resorts and access to a private jet and so on and so forth. The one thing that did surprise me, Mary, even based on what we had heard last week with the dismissed juror talk to the media, is I really did think they would convict him on the false statements count for not disclosing any of these gifts. I thought that was pretty much a slam dunk. And in fact, you know, the juror who was dismissed last week said when they originally went in the jury room and voted on that false statements count, it was unanimous to convict. She went home, cried, thought about how Cory Booker's character testimony touched her heart, and she came back the next day and said, no, I want not guilty on that one also. And apparently she convinced a couple of other jurors on that because by the time she was dismissed, they were still not guilty on that. And or at least some of them were not guilty on that. And so he got his hung jury on all counts.
Yeah, well, there could have been a mistrial on that very thing anyway, regardless of the hung jury, but and then end up with a hung jury. I was amazed actually by how defiant. I mean, Menendez has been this way the entire time, but listen to what he claims was the motivation for the government's case yesterday. Here he is.
Certain elements of the FBI and of our state cannot understand or even worse accept that the Latino kid from Union City and Hudson County can grow up to be a United States senator and be honest.
Racism, Phil Kirpin, racism was at the core of why the government brought this case against him.
Yeah, you know, that was in the opening statements, too, the idea that this type of deep, abiding friendship that involves, you know, private jet travel and steering port security contacts and all the rest of it is a feature of Hispanic American life that the white people at the Obama Justice Department just didn't understand. I don't think that that's a very good argument, but what do I know? Because some of the jurors might have believed it.
Why didn't the prosecution bring up the allegations of sex with underage prostitutes?
Yeah, you know, this is, I think, one of the things they're really going to be second-guessed on is that there were no prostitution charges included. And, you know, it's interesting because the original accusers of that, the girls who originally said that they were underage prostitutes who were with Melgin and Menendez, they recanted. They said that they were paid to say that originally and that it wasn't true, which gets you into a really murky territory because were they actually paid to say it or were they paid to say that they were paid to say it? But it undermines their credibility completely as witnesses, which I think made it very difficult to include those charges. But one of the interesting things is that there was a procedural motion back in 2015 where basically the Menendez side said that the government was trying to poison the jury pool by leaking to the media about these sex charges that had never been brought, and they should stop doing that because it was totally false and malicious and so forth. And the Department of Justice responded that actually they had a lot of credible evidence to back those charges, even though they had chosen not to include that in the indictment. And that was the last time that the Menendez defense team mentioned it in the courtroom. It was kind of like they didn't want to go there after that. And so, you know, I don't know. Some people say that it wasn't true because the original accusers recanted and it never happened. Others say that there was a lot of evidence of that, but just for whatever reason, they didn't include it and they didn't think that they could prove it and they didn't include it in the charges. And that certainly, I think, is something that the prosecutors are going to be, are being second-guessed on, because if you included those charges, even if you couldn't prove them, it might have changed the way the jury looked at everything else and made them more likely to convict on some of the other.
Well, there's an opportunity here then, potentially, right? I mean, there's a question, will this go to a retrial? And now we know that the Senate Ethics Committee is taking up a dormant look at Bob Menendez. Tell us about those two things.
Yeah, they haven't decided yet if they're going to do a retrial. You know, I think that if they do retry this case next year, they're going to need to change their strategy. I think if they have the same strategy, they're going to get the same result. And so unless they, you know, sort of look at it with new eyes, maybe other charges or other ways they could present things, I don't think there would be much of a point. If they just have the exact same trial, I don't think it's going to work. Abby Lowell will offer the same defense. But certainly they're going to look at all the evidence they have, and they have an enormous amount of evidence, and see if there's a different way to present it or maybe different charges that could be included. And there's a chance they'll bring the case again next year. Now, that would be really interesting because Menendez has already said he's running for re-election next year. And so we could have a senator on trial for bribery and other charges in a federal court the same time he's running for re-election. That would be a bit of a spectacle. And the other upside from a practical standpoint in Washington is it'd be another couple of months that he's absent. And that helps the vote math quite a lot on the Senate floor, as it has for the last couple of months. So if they do a retrial from a political standpoint, it would be very, very interesting for his re-election. Of course, one thing we learned in New Jersey is that even if he's convicted after the date when it's too late by law to replace him on the ballot, they would just have a judge order it anyway, as they did when Torricelli dropped out with only a couple of months left. The Ethics Committee, you know, look, I've been saying the Ethics Committee should have been taking action on this for 5 years. I mean, the idea that they would sit on the sidelines and wait while the legal process played out, I find somewhat ridiculous, because regardless of what a jury ends up deciding, the Senate is supposed to have its own ethical standards. So I think they should have done this a long time ago, but I'm very happy to see that Mitch McConnell called for it yesterday. And as he correctly pointed out in his statement, there were a lot of new, very, very damaging facts that came out in this trial, because the whole defense strategy was to agree with the facts as presented and say they were explained by friendship rather than by a corrupt relationship. But, you know, there's no ethical standard that says it's okay to take lavish gifts from a friend and do all kinds of official favors for a friend. You know, even if somehow that makes it legal, it doesn't make it ethical. And in particular, I was amazed by the testimony of a Customs and Border Patrol official who said that when Menendez was trying to steer this Dominican port security contract to Belgium, he called up and said, don't send any port security equipment to the Dominican. And she said he was directly undermining the agency's law enforcement mission.
Wow. It's just
unbelievable.
That seems
really unethical.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Phil. I mean, there's a difference between legal and what's right. And clearly, there's a lot of wrong going on here. Phil Kirpin, thank you, as always, for giving us a breakdown. Bob Menendez not going away, and neither is this look at Bob Menendez's life. Appreciate it, sir.
All right. Have a good one, Ben.
8:15 now, WMAL traffic.